to focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go harder. Just dig deeper inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive. Just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle Hunter. I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, inspiration, dedication, and just tapping into your higher self. And as always, this is high-level conversation, and we just like to highlight the leaders, the individuals that are just at the forefront of their respective industries. And today is a very, very dope day because I got one of my brothers. He's a solid dude, man. He is a manager. He is a businessman. I mean, he's just an all-around solid person, man. He is no other than Slim Jeff. Jeff, what's up, brother?
What up with y'all, man? What's up? What's up? How you doing?
Man, everything's healthy. Everything's good, man. Everything's excellent, man. We just thank you for taking out the time for being on the podcast. We got a lot of listeners, man, and just a lot of business-minded people, a lot of entrepreneurs. And, you know, this platform is just for people that are on the cutting edge of their industry. And once again, man, we just want to thank you for your time, brother.
Man, no problem. I'm happy to be here, man, and share any jewels that I do have for the people, man.
Definitely, definitely, man. So, you know, to start off, like a lot of times I tell people they don't know exactly where they're going unless they know where they came from. So for the listeners who might not necessarily be familiar with your journey, can you just kind of just take us back to the beginning? Like, what was your childhood like and, you know, the early days for Slim Jeff?
Word, man. You know, I'm an 80s baby. You know, I'm born in Los Angeles, California, man. Born and raised in Leimert Park. You know, came up in a very pro-black environment. For those unfamiliar with Leimert Park, it's kind of like the black arts, you know, cultural epicenter of Los Angeles. You know, people might be familiar with like Insecure and things like that these days that are kind of based out of the ethos of like Leimert Park. You know, I came up down the street from a World Stage Jazz Club. You know, my pops was highly involved in the arts community. My mom was highly involved in the arts community. You know, grew up around like a lot of great jazz musicians, grew up around a lot of great activists, grew up around a lot of great people and elders, man. So I think that that's been instilled in me. You know, when I was a little kid, we lived in an apartment and my pops, you know, had built these handmade shelves, and one side was like thousands of books and the other side was like thousands of records, man. And I feel like that culmination of those two things is who I am today. You know, I'm like a half music, half literature nerd, you know, kind of like a writer is how I, you know, got into the raps and stuff. I've been writing raps and stuff since I was in like, you know, second, third grade. And it just kind of like evolved over time, man. And, you know, it's always been a part of me. And, you know, that led me to doing my own music, playing with my own band, you know, fronting my own band. Kind of feel like I was ahead of the wave with the rap bands. You know, we had like a jazz rap band. You know, hopefully we could play some more shows soon. But yeah, I did that, man, and just been on a journey as an artist for so long. I eventually transferred into managing artists, man. And I feel like, you know, I'm an artist. I've been through all the struggles and agony and pain, you know, and triumphs of like being an artist. And I feel like I got a lot to offer, you know, as a manager. And it, I just kind of fell into it, man, you know, like it's here I am, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a dope journey, man. That's super dope. You know, you mentioned like your pops having like these records in the house and all these things. What type of music like was he playing in the crib like growing up?
Man, pops was a very eclectic person in general, but especially a very eclectic music listener, man. So I was listening to things that go as far back as like the Ink Spots from like the 20s to Sergio Mendes to Coltrane, Miles Davis, you know, Naughty by Nature, you know, all the 80s rap, 90s rap. That was the one thing I could say about my dad, man. It's like his musical universe was so large that, you know, that became instilled in me. Because, like, we used to walk to school, we'd be singing Beatles songs. You know, he listened to Elvis, he listened to Stevie Wonder, he listened to, like, obscure people I can't remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pops was all over the place, man. He was a real, like, music aficionado. And then we had, you know, people like that used to be around the neighborhood, like Horace Tapscott, Billy Higgins, like a lot of jazz greats and stuff like that. And Pops was just kind of fully entrenched into the community, like in terms of the streets and the you know, the educational side, the Black power and the Black consciousness side of everything. So, you know, Pops is the smartest person that I've ever met on planet Earth, man, still. And he just was a real eclectic type of guy, man, with just a vast, you know, amount of knowledge inside his brain, man. Like, from literature, he'd be speaking German and shit. Like, Pops was all over the place, man. So yeah, he was a real, real interesting dude, man. He was kind of like a child of the Watts riots. You know, he was like 18 in 1965 and just, you know, going to Gompers out here in LA and LA high school and shit like that, man. Like, Pops was just kind of all over the place, man. And you know, like, as the older I get, you know, and as I father my daughter, I start to, you know, notice the influential ways that my dad, you know, affected my life, man. You know, just having all this arts knowledge and stuff, you know, as well as my mom's too, was very heavy. Like, she's from this film group called the LA Rebellion film class of UCLA, you know, and they kind of really were like birthed the alternative Black cinema. You know, they influenced people like Spike Lee and, you know, all those type of people. But she was in there with like Ben Caldwell, Julie Dash, Charles Burnett. And these are some of like our earliest like independent Black filmmakers, you know. So her, as college students, you know, they were very important to something I don't think they realized, you know, would have such a large impact on. So now they teach her stuff in schools and show her film in schools, you know, and, you know, she's part of educational curriculums like around the world and little festivals and stuff like that, man. So, you know, I'm from a very artistic family, man.
That's dope, man. That's super dope. And that type of foundation that normally helps and, you know, actually contributes to just your skill set musically, you know, because I mean, being exposed to such dope things culturally, man, like that's, I mean, that's a sum total of who you are. So, you know, another thing that I wanted to ask you, man, like, because I know you mentioned that you started out as a musician yourself, then how you transitioned into the business side of it, being a manager. Could you talk a little more about that transition? Like, was it an easy transition? Because how I liken it is like a coach, I mean, a player that becomes a coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, you used to getting out there, you used to putting in the work, and then now you flip it over and you're on the opposite side. So was it a smooth transition? I mean, did you kind of like have a little reservation about actually making that transition? Did you miss the music side? Like, you know, we just want to get a little more insight.
Yeah, man. So I'm going to tell you a story, bro. So the way that I got into music management was actually through managing a painter who was my cousin, Rob Hill, who's a phenomenal artist, man, geometric abstract artist. But he came back home from the Coast Guard and he was really trying to figure out what to do with his life. You know what I mean? Like, how to make this next chapter of his life work. But I remember in high school, man, he was like painting on clothes and selling his own clothes and to help his mom pay the bills and stuff. And he had it popping, man, you know, like throughout the LAUSD school system and all over LA, you know, he was selling like these hand painted clothes and like little airbrush things. Always a creative dude, man. So at that particular time, I want to say this was around 2013, I was like really heavy into the fine art scene. I was going to a lot of art shows. I had a homie that, you know, had a mural company that he was running in LA, shout out Branded Arts. And I was just helping him out a lot and just kind of, you know, exploring the art scene and the art world. And, you know, that connection that I had, I was like, man, you know what? I told my cousin, like, bro, just start reading up on these artists, start studying fine arts. You know, like, I know that this is in you, but just growing up, you know, in the inner city, growing up in the hood, we don't get exposure to like a lot of programs that other privileged kids like may have. But I think that I was the link between him and, you know, this world of fine arts. And so, like, you know, knowing my cousin's demeanor, man, he's like a very hard worker. He's like a guy that wake up at 5:30, 6 a.m. every day, no matter what. And he just has to kind of be working on himself, working on something. So I told him to start getting into, you know, painting, man, like doing fine arts. And he started, you know, painting canvases and painting clothes again and just being creative. And, you know, we started making a way out of no way, man. I think that that really gave me my confidence as a manager, because we had some, like, you know, some big wins, man. You know, we had like a lot of good things going for us, you know, and that made me creative as a manager and gave me creative ways to figure out how to find opportunities, like, you know, for him as an artist. I didn't necessarily know how much that would translate to me when I switched over to music, but, you know, it was a big, big boost, man. And I feel like, you know, that's where everything started for me as a manager, and just being in the trenches like those 3 or 4 years with him, you know, and figuring out, you know, how to make it pop, you know, as a painter, because that's a lot more difficult than managing a music artist, you know, to be honest. Like, people like music, but everybody's like not, you know, not everybody cares about this painting or willing to, you know, spend bread on a painting. It's kind of like you got to think of, you know, creative ways to sustain yourself, man. But we did it, you know, we had like a little office and everything, bro. So, you know, that really, really like lit the fire, man. It kind of, you know, set the foundation. So when I got to music, I was just already fully confident that, you know, I could do music management, because I knew that nothing is about to be harder than managing a painter, you know, with no, like, you know, real museum background or no fine arts like experience before this. But it's like, you know, we made it happen. I just believe in myself, man. And that's the same way I believe in my artists.
Wow. Wow. Now that's super dope, man. And that's critical too. It's like, you know, life is like full of different, it's like a video game a lot of times. It's levels, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like you got to go through different stages, and every stage you pick up another skill set and you just throw that in your toolbox. So you never know when you need it down the road. And it's crazy because it's like, even though your cousin like pretty much was doing art, I mean, it still helped you in a lot of ways, like dealing with music art, you know, and artistry. So that's dope, man. That's definitely
for sure.
Now, let 100%. Me ask you a question, Jeff. Is this the first time you told somebody this in an interview?
Maybe not, man. I usually like to play the background. I haven't done a lot of interviews. It's kind of like I'm one of them, if you know people, if you know, right, like I'm right. Not a big Instagram poster. I'll be in some heavy rooms and shit like that. But it's like, you know, like it's like you kind of got to know me and know what I do. You know, I'm an analog baby. So, you know, while I am on social media, you know, I do like, you know, study it and see like who's popping, and I use it as a tool. It's like for myself, I'm not just the type of person to really broadcast myself like that. You know, like I really try to play the background, you know, and I speak, you know, when needed. But yeah, man, I can't think of, you know, I might have done one other interview, probably like when I was doing something for the last one I did was in Japan, to be honest. Like we had a little podcast that we did out there. And, you know, that's when I start talking about all that stuff. But, you know, it's hard to find, man. I'm not just jumping up for any and every interview type situation.
Well, that's dope, man. Look, we got some kind of exclusive. So we lit.
Yeah.
Yo, definitely, man. So another question that I have for you, man. I mean, we got a couple here, man. I want to ask you, what would you say is the biggest obstacle that you had to overcome so far as being a manager?
Oh, man. You know what, man? It's like, I can't pinpoint it. It's just that, like, the work ethic I developed as a manager when I was managing, like, you know, Rob Hill, the artist, because it was always a giant obstacle to overcome. You know what I mean? Like, music is a little bit more of a fraternity. It's a little bit more relationship-based. You know what I mean? Like, art is, too. But we were kind of like blazing our own path, you know, doing things like independently, a lot of pop-ups, you know, we still kind of had that hustle mentality from like coming from the hood and just making shit happen. But I mean, biggest obstacle, man, honestly, is, you know, dealing with artists' personalities. You know, like, that is the biggest challenge of, like, really learning how to develop a flow with the artists that you manage, man, because sometimes they don't always understand the vision, you know, but as long as they trust, you know, that I'm, like, leading the car in the right direction, then we all good, because I'm confident in myself and I know what I'm doing, you know, and anything that I don't know, I'm educating myself on, man. So, I mean, there's not one glaring obstacle that stands out, but I think, you know, from an overall perspective, it's just like dealing with artists' personalities. But, you know, JanSport is fantastic, though. Like, you know, his work ethic is, you know, bar none, man. So it's like me and him, we so locked in. You know, it's easy, but like when I pick up, you know, other artists, newer artists, you know, it's kind of like getting them to understand, you know, the do's and don'ts, and, you know, just kind of like how to not take things personal, and just like dealing with the artist personality, you know, like a manager, you really are a therapist, a parent, a friend, you know, a business manager if they don't got it, a PR person if they don't got it, a role manager, you know, we gonna do everything from, you know, being the heavy hitter rooms to carrying, like, you know, luggage if I need to. Like, I'm just down for whatever, you know, I'm down to scrap. That's just kind of in me. So, you know, I mean, I'm just ready for whatever, man. So I don't really look at things as, you know, obstacles, as something that's like daunting. It's just like, all right, this is what's in front of me right now, like, let's go get it, you know. And it's just kind of, that's my mentality, period.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's super dope, super dope. And it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, man, there's a saying that I love, and it's kind of like a mantra for me, is, man, it's called persistence wears down resistance. So no matter what, like, you're dealing with or what type of obstacle, like, it don't matter. It's like, at the end of the day, you just got to make it happen. You know, it's like, you can either have results or excuses. So, you know, a lot of times people in life, they let things just get the best of them. But, you know, like you said, man, you just got to keep going. Regardless of what it is, you got to just keep going. So
yeah, something I wanted to add, man, I think that, like, just within the human psyche, it feels good to accomplish something. So if you can break that big obstacle down into, you know, 5 or 10 steps, and if you accomplish this little thing, you chip away at it, you know what I'm saying? As long as you stand consistent, like you said, persistence, you know, wears down resistance. It's like, as long as you working away at it, you know, it'll happen for you, as long as you stand consistent, you know. So it's just like, I don't look at an obstacle and think like, oh, damn, you know, this is like a big challenge. It's like, I immediately start to, like, break it down into little pieces. Like, oh, okay, like, you know, I'm trying to do X, you know what I'm saying? Well, let me break this down into X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and then I'll just take one of those little things at a time until we get, you know, to the whole piece of the pie, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of like my mentality of, like, how I approach things, because it's, nothing happens overnight, you know what I'm saying? Nothing is guaranteed, and, you know, nothing, like, happens without consistency. So, you know, if you doing push-ups every day, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to bulk up, you know what I'm saying? You got to wake up every morning and do the push-ups. You know, it's just no way around it. So it's just like, my obstacles, I treat like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, instead of, like, you know, this one kind of larger problem. You know what I mean? So I just try to break down everything in my mind and, you know, in my actionable steps into little things that I can accomplish. Like, if I tell an artist, like, all right, you know, you're trying to get more Spotify streams or something like that, it's like, man, just first update your profile picture. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, then tomorrow, go ahead and, like, do your research on, you know, like, what areas you're trying to target, or, you know, like, and then the next day, you know what I'm saying, you might spend $5 on, like, a little promotional ad or something. So you might have the bigger goal of, like, man, I need to get more Spotify streams. This is challenging. But it's like, if you take it and break it down, you know, piece by piece, it's like you're accomplishing something along the way. And when you accomplish things, man, it's just like, the confidence that becomes, you know, that becomes available to you is crazy. You know, that feeling of feeling good is very powerful. So I try to get people to, you know, stay in that mindset and stay in that mind frame and just understand that, like, you know, as long as you're consistent, like, you know, whatever you desire is going to come in due time.
Man, those are all facts, man. Those are all facts. And, you know, I just want to piggyback on what you said, because I feel like a lot of times it's just like you said, piece by piece. And the internet can be a deterrent. And I always tell people, don't let the internet rush you, because not everybody's posting their failures. So you see something and you see somebody successful and you say, oh, damn, they getting it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they got this placement. They got that placement. Or, you know, they touring over here. And psychologically, if you don't got that mental fortitude and know where you're at to run your own race, it can start to wear on you where you feel like, damn, I'm falling behind. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you got to have your blinders on. It's like I tell people, when you see horses in a race, they got on blinders for a reason. They just looking straight ahead at that goal in front of them. And that's what every person has to do, is just run your race piece by piece. Don't ever try to feel inadequate. And don't compare yourself to other people. Comparison is the thief of joy. So, you know, you got to just do you, you know?
That's very important, bro. And I want to say, man, it's so important, because a lot of things, you know, that happens to artists is that they get jaded. You know what I'm saying? When you see other people like being successful and you feel like you more talented, or you feel like, you know, like you've been working longer or this and that, like you can get jaded, man. And it's just like that jealousy, envy, you know what I'm saying? And that jaded feeling, man, like that will be the anchor that really brings you down and makes you drown. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta really, you know, keep the positive mindset and focus on what you're doing. You know, it's good to study the game, but don't like let that enter your mind into, you know, such a negative way. And that's why people have to be like, you know, real, you know, hesitant with the competitive thing. I know that's a big thing in rap. You know what I'm saying? It's like you are more competitive than celebratory for other people. And that's what I try to teach all my artists. It's like, this is a game of relationships, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, especially you can't be jaded or upset at someone or somebody that you don't know personally. You just have to study, you know, what makes them successful, and, you know, try to soak up game and apply it, you know, to what you can when it comes to your own situation. Cause I got, you know, an artist that I've worked with before where they'd be like, oh man, I could rap better than such and such and so and so. And I'd be like, yeah, that's great, bro. You know, I'm sure it's plenty of people on the playground that could see Michael Jordan coming up in high school, but they didn't have what Michael Jordan had inside. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't have that killer, that determination to just be the best that they could possibly be. You know, it's like, you might rap real good, but it's like, that's not all this business is cracked up to be. It's called the music business. Like, you have to learn so much other, you know, knowledge as an independent artist so you can be a well-rounded artist. Like, you don't want to just be a dude that raps good, that's rapping on the corner in front of your homies forever. It's like, you know, you're going to eventually get burnt out of that, you know, if this is your dream. So it's kind of like, when you are jaded, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you blinded to some of the knowledge that you might need because your focus and your energy is like in the wrong place, man. That's why when they say like no player hating, it's like, you know, as a kid, I didn't really understand what that mean, but it's like, man, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Study the game, bro. Like study what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish, you know? And I think that is crucial for every artist to really understand, man. And the internet, like you said, you know, it's such a illusion. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's such a place where it's like, you know, it can mentally depress you. You know what I'm saying? It can, you know, put you in this zone of like comparison that's going to be detrimental to what you're doing. And that's why I'm so glad that I'm an analog baby and I had to come up during the time, you know, like, for example, back in the day, you wanted to holler at a lady, man, you had to have some chivalry. You had to go get her number. You had to write her down. You know what I'm saying? You had to work to go get that date. You had to work to go, you know, get this person to, you know, like you, to feel you. But it's kind of like, now everything is like instant popcorn. You know what I'm saying? It's in the microwave and people just expect like, all right, this is what I need. But it's like, you know, most things that's instant, you know, is bad for you. You know what I'm saying? Most things that instant got chemicals and poison in it for you. So it's like, if you're just looking at the vanity and you're not understanding the substance that's behind the success, you know, it's going to be a long day for you, you know?
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. It's like we say, run your own race. Just stay true to who you are. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, the cream going to rise to the top. Cream always going to rise to the top. And, you know, I deal with the same thing, because even with my company, a lot of musicians we deal with, a lot of times they'll, you know, sometimes they'll say, damn, man, like, how that person get that placement in that Pepsi commercial? I ain't get that. My music better. I'm like, ah, you sound like a hater, man. Like, this is toxic. Like, come on, man. Like, yo, you got to, you know, a lot of times you get blessed just by being happy for the next man, you know, and not having that animosity and just being jaded. So, yeah, man, you got to celebrate other people's wins and yours will come accordingly. So
100%, bro. And not to cut you off, but like, that's one of the things, you know, that I learned from like the legends and the higher up. Like, you know, we work with Hit-Boy all the time, man. And it's like, when I look at this guy's work ethic and then I look at this guy's demeanor and I look at like how, you know, much of the culture is within him and how happy he is, man, when somebody else wins, bro. It's like, those are all big lessons. It's like one of the biggest producers, if not the biggest producer in rap right now, you know, in music, period. And it's like the way that he approaches, you know, his craft and the way that he approaches the game is like how everybody should approach the game. Like, I go in the HB studio, you know what I'm saying? And it's like the whole industry in there, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you never know who's going to fall through. So it's like, you got to pay attention to things like that, because usually like the people that's at the top, you know, like with the cream that rises to the top, those people be the most humble, you know what I'm saying? Facts. People, and they be the most like people that bless you with the most game. And they not out here trying to really like stun and flex on people and, you know what I'm saying, demean or belittle other people like that, man. It's like, from my experience, like the higher up I go and the bigger that I meet, you know, it's like, you have to really pay attention to those type of things, because, you know, those are key ingredients to being successful. You know what I'm saying? And like, being a hater is not going to make you successful. You know what I'm saying? Like, being a hater is just going, that's going to slow you down, because your energy is in the wrong place. When it's free game, you could be getting from just like studying, being studious and being, you know, celebratory and like understanding. Even if the music isn't for you, it's still lessons like to be learned, you know, from like somebody's journey.
Facts, all facts, man. You know, another question that I have for you, man, as far as like your name, because, you know, we never actually asked you that question, man. Where did you get the name Slim Jeff from?
Oh, man. So, okay. My last name is Jefferson. My birth name is Khalid Akeem Jefferson. But when I was in high school, I had a homegirl named Rania. Shout out to Rania. And like every day when she see me come to school, like, she, my nigga Slim, what's up? You know what I'm saying? So like, Slim just kind of like started like sticking, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, when I got to college, you know, like the first week of college, and people, everybody asking you what your name is and whatnot, I was like, yeah, my name's Slim. So it was kind of like, I think me, you know, branching out into like my own identity, you know what I'm saying? Like, as an artist, college is kind of like where I first started, like, you know, becoming an artist. And I think that, you know, I needed a name, you know what I'm saying? So I just kind of like put my first and last name together. It used to be Slim Jefferson. That's what like my name used to be. And then like eventually, like over time, I thought Slim Jefferson was a mouthful. So I just shortened it to Slim Jeff, because my pops, like when he was young, he used to go by Joe Jeff, you know? So that's what they used to call him, like when he was young, running around Watts and like, you know, east side of LA and shit like that. Like, you know, they used to call him Joe Jeff. And so I just kind of wanted to keep that tradition like alive, you know, and like I am, you know, my pops in so many ways. And Slim Jeff just made sense, and it, you know, it stuck, man. And I just started playing a lot of shows and seeing my name on a few marquees here and there around LA. And, you know, it's just like, all right, I got to roll with it now.
Nah, well, that's dope. That's dope, man. That's super dope. Well, you know, I want to talk about, man, because we talking about wins, man, and celebrating, you know, so as my brother, I want to celebrate you, your dope artist, and what y'all doing, man. And a big, huge win, man, is King's Disease 2 with Nas, man, and JanSport J, man. So,
yes,
you know, much congrats on that, man. If you just want to talk about that, how that felt to be on a project, like, you know, with, like, Nas the legend, man, you know?
Thank you, man. Thank you, bro. You know, this came through one of JanSport's, like, you know, big dog collaborators, man. You know what I'm saying? Hit-Boy. Hit-Boy had been working with Nas on King's Disease 1. And Sport was around, you know, for that whole process of King's Disease 1. You know, the first one, KD. And, you know, he had missed participation in that first joint by a sample clearance, you know, like they didn't clear the sample. And, you know, Nas eventually went on to win a Grammy for that album. So it's like Sport could have been a Grammy winning producer, man, but that sample didn't get cleared. And so, you know, we was just around, man, and HB and Nas was locked in, bro. You know, Hit-Boy is really dedicated to the culture of hip hop, man. He's like not, you know, some flossy ass producer. Like, you know, people might think because he got so many hits and shit like that, he's a real custodian of the culture, man. So, you know, he really, you know, have brought JanSport in, you know, because JanSport, of course, like he got a certain like signature sound, you know what I'm saying? And I think that like Hit-Boy understood that, like, all right, like, you know, Sport kind of like belongs, like, you know, in this atmosphere. So we was, you know, around for the whole King's Disease process, and then they started working on King's Disease 2. And we was around for that too, because we always up at Hit-Boy studio working, and, you know, him and Sport just, you know, chopping shit up, making beats, you know, playing shit for artists, like just in the studio, some real studio rats, man. And you know, it just kind of came together, man, you know, first and foremost through God, bro, because, you know, that is a legendary moment for Sport and for the culture, period, you know, for Nas to be rapping at this level. But I think people really respect, you know, JanSport's authenticity, you know what I'm saying? Like, he never switched up. He always stayed true to his sound. You know, he's always just been a real solid dude, man. And I think that people have nothing but respect for him. And so I think that, you know, he's welcomed into these type of rooms and scenarios. Like, even though he might not necessarily be, you know, a Billboard producer before, like, you know, this project, you know what I mean? It's kind of like Sport has always been who he is, man. People compare him to Jay Dilla a lot. Like, when we go to Japan, they go crazy and shit like that, man. So it's like, he's one of those people that's respected on a real high level. And I think that, you know, the respect is mutual. And, you know, Hit-Boy is the real GOAT, man. He's the quarterback, bro. He really is like executive producing this thing with Nas and QB in the sound. And he kind of, you know, figured out where Sport could contribute. And they was working, man. You know what I'm saying? And they did. And Nas, one of Nas's favorite joints is the moments joints, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of his favorite joints, you know, that we was all in the studio discussing that. And, you know, that was like a proud moment for Sport, man. Cause I mean, we all been listening to Nas since we was little kids, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of our era's introduction into hip hop, man. And the golden era of hip hop is like where we first, you know, really like could put the concepts of the lyricism, you know, with the music together, you know, as we becoming like young men. So it was just a big, big moment, man. And like, that just came through the relationship with JanSport and Hit-Boy, man. And salute to Hit-Boy for really having the vision to understand the greater good, man, to really, like, you know, put the album together the right way and, like, you know, really do it for the culture, man. So, you know, shout out to Hit-Boy.
Yeah, definitely, man. Super dope, man. So I'm going to transition right now. I got a question for you, man. You know, who are your top five MCs of all time? Top five that are alive.
Woo. Damn, this is always a tough one, man. you know, I just got to go with, like, you know, what personally affects me the most, man. And thinking about, like, you know, transitional moments in my life, you know, when I could have went one way or the other. And I think that, you know, Nas is definitely in there, hands down. You know what I'm saying? Nas is one of the greatest people to ever, you know, touch a pen. Pac, of course, you know, I'm a ride or die West Coast guy, man. And that was a very, you know, informative time in my life, man. And Pac is just, you know, I love everything that he stood for. And just how his music made me feel, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was very important to my hip hop journey. I gotta say Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? Hov is definitely, you know, one of my top favorites. And all of these rappers have been my favorite rappers at a point in time. You know what I'm saying? I gotta say Big, you know, out of pure respect, because Big is just, still to this day, man, you play Biggie songs and I just, you know, it's like, it gives you that feeling, man. It's like, this is the hip hop that will never, ever, ever die. You know what I mean? I don't care what generations come next. So, and then lastly, man, as far as like influence on me, I got to throw in Mos Def, Yasiin Bey in there, bro.
That
Black on Both Sides album, man.
Fire.
Boy. That really... That's one of the albums that I can say, man, you know, probably really saved my life. I had a lot of homies that was, you know, cripping and, you know, doing the street shit. Like when I was a young man, like I think I went on a mentorship program, bro, when I was in like 11th grade. Mm-hmm. I went with this guy. Damn, I can't remember this dude's name, but he had took me around for the day. He had worked in the music industry. I remember he had called Mariah Carey while we was on the phone type shit. I was like bugging out. Like I was in his office and he was talking to Mariah Carey. But like at the end of that conversation, when he got off the phone and we got back in the car, he went to take me back to the meeting point or whatever. He was like, man, you should listen to this, bro. And he gave me that Black on Both Sides CD. And like, I put that in and that opened up a whole world for me, man. Like Soul Quarians and Common and, you know what I'm saying? Eventually like Lupe. It just put me into a whole lane of like, you know, conscious, vibrant rap that I needed to hear. And it's like the messages in that music was crucial to like my makeup as a man, you know, like Mos Def. That album really changed my life, man. So, you know, I would be disrespectful if I didn't throw Yasiin in there, man, because that dude was very, very crucial to my life. I think that all of the MCs that I listed have been there for me, because Pops was kind of like, you know, in and out. He was doing his thing, you know what I'm saying? And he was just like, you know, not a stable figure in the household as I got older, you know what I'm saying? 10, 11, 12 years old and kind of going through my early teens, man. But, you know, those guys that I mentioned, you know, they substituted for Pops, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. at a time when I needed a lot of guidance, man. And Mos Def, he really, like, made me committed to, like, being an honorable man, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, listening to his music really had that effect on me, man. That album in particular had that effect on me. And, you know, that would probably be my top five, you know? Maybe it could change from day to day, depending on how I'm feeling, but those are my North Stars, bro, for sure.
Yeah, solid picks, man. And, you know, it's crazy because I think, like, a lot of those dudes from the Raucous era, man, are just... I mean, it's just criminally slept on, man. Like, you know, you look at Mos, Talib, Pharoah Monch from Queens. Like, I mean, you just talk about lyrical assassins, man. And like, I mean, these guys were just so super dope. And like that album, like you said, from Mos, I remember just listening to this guy and being blown away musically. Like, damn, this dude could just be rapping and he just break out just like singing like melodies.
Bro.
You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, yo, this dude is like, he next level. Like, he's just like, you know, eclectic.
Exactly. And that's one thing that I did appreciate, man. I was just like, how versatile he was. And this is like, you know, pre-Drake and everything that came. Yeah. And I was like, bro, he was like doing this. It wasn't in like a pop star way or a superstar way, you know. Much respect to Drake, man. He's a legend himself and I enjoy his music. But like Mos Def was kind of giving it to me in that raw, soulful way, similar to like, you know, like when I would walk down the street, Degnan Boulevard and Leimert Park on Sundays, you know, when they got the African drum circles and stuff like that, like I would hear people singing like that and feeling that type of spirit. And Mos was like somebody that was really, really, you know, tapped into the Pan-African diaspora. And he was like channeling, like, you know, the spirit of our ancestors, but also he was giving you this raw, dope New York, you know what I'm saying, like rap shit. And I was like, man, this dude is too ill, bro, conceptually, like his songs and, you know, that whole entire album, man, is just like, it's such a special album to me. And like, I just thought Mos was incredible. I had never, you know, experienced an artist like him, you know, until up until that point. So he just kind of blew my mind. And the way that I received the album, you know, from a mentor and, you know, him, you know, knowing probably what he was doing of like, man, you know, this young brother 16, you know what I'm saying? I'm wearing blue chucks to school sometime and it's this and that. And it's just like, okay, you know, a lot of us in LA at that time, man, LA with the gang culture was very, very crazy, very hectic. So it's like a lot of good kids in the mad city, man. Like Kendrick said, bro, I feel like that's a whole genre because, you know, I was one of them kids, man. I'm a good kid in the mad city. And it's like, you know, from that age, 15, 16, 17, I could go either way. You know what I mean? And like Mos Def was one of those people that kept me on track, man. I really like looked up to him and believed in the shit that he was saying, you know what I'm saying? More so than people that whose music I really love, like Snoop and, you know, Daz and Corrupt, like on a groove level, it's like, I love all those artists, man. But in terms of like on an actual impact my life level, like, yeah, Mos Def, Yasiin Bey, man, he was the guy, you know, he kind of had like a Tupac-ness to him that I needed, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With his message.
That's a fact. That's a fact, bro. You know, I remember growing up too and, you know, being a New York cat from Queens, like the expectation for us, like being MCs coming up was like, yo, it's New York, like to the death, you know, and like this is the mecca of hip hop. Yeah. But I'll tell you real quick, you know, especially you being from the West, one cat from the West, man, that I grew up listening to that I was just blown away. He was so lyrical. I thought he was from the East Coast. It's Razzcast.
And, oh, man, for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember hearing his first album, Soul on Ice. And I mean, man, I must have ran that joint back. I mean, until the CD got scratched. I was so pissed off, man. Dude is lyrical, man. Like, you know, so, yeah, man, you know, the West Coast, man, y'all always got some spitters out there, man. Like, y'all got a dope blend of cats out there. So, definitely.
Yeah. And that's the one thing I want to say, bro, is that, like, I grew up in Leimert Park. So, it's like, I grew up around MCs, like Project Load and Good Life and all that type of stuff was, like, right in my neighborhood. So, I grew up around, like, super duper, like, lyrical MCs that, like, you know, had something to say, like AC Alone and Freestyle Fellowship. And all these people was around the neighborhoods, like, just like the jazz musicians. So, like, I kind of had a great balance of both sides of like the gangster shit and the lyrical, you know, like, but it's just that the lyrical stuff didn't get as much shine and publicity because the record industry was more so pushing the gangster shit from like LA, you know, and we didn't have as big an independent, you know, field as we do now. But I mean, shout out to all those that came through Project Blowed and like kind of like Bananas, which is like now the reiteration of Project Blow pretty much. And we've always had that type of culture, man. So like, you know, you hear the Razzcasts and you hear like all the, you know, top level spitters, man, Jurassic 5 and stuff like that. Like I have my time periods like with all of those you know, styles of music, man. So it's like I got a very well-rounded, balanced you know, serving of hip hop, which is one thing that I kind of worry about in today's day and age. Even though hip hop is super diverse, it's kind of like people are kind of, the youth is kind of stuck into one lane or the other. You know what I'm saying? Like, it kind of feels like that, all right, if you like on the trap stuff, like this is your main thing, you know what I'm saying? And this is your lifestyle and this and that. But when I was coming up, it's like even the fucking gangsters listen to lyrical shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. we had Corrupt, who was like the bridge of both worlds, where he'll like knock your head off as an MC, but he was still cripping. You know what I'm saying? He still was on the G shit. So it's like, we got that blend, man. And that was like a beautiful blend to have. And especially like living in Lamar Park, that's exactly what it is. You know, it's like one part pro-black and it's one part, you know, gang central. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lamar Park is one of those like central places in LA that a lot of people come to. Crenshaw Sundays, you know, Lowrider Sundays. It's like, I grew up steps from that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, at any time, you know, you could get your issue and get your melon knocked off. You know what I'm saying? Or somebody yeah. might bless you with the knowledge that you need to survive, you know, out here, man. So, you know, that was like a little gumbo, man, that really kind of it instilled it in me. Because from the West Coast perspective, in our dialect, in our tone, in the way we walk, in the way we carry ourselves, it's like you can hear all that. I don't care if you're conscious or not. It's like that G shit is in you, because it's like, you know, we come from like the gang culture. And even if you don't gangbang, the style that you wear, you know, you wearing khakis and shit like that. You know, you wearing Pendletons, or you like, you know, you walking in a certain way, you talking in a certain way, man. It's like, you know, the hood had like a big effect on all that, man. So, you know, I'm just thankful to be able to go through that experience of getting that well-rounded education. And then on top of that, bro, we had like, you know, all the elders blessing us with the Coltranes and the jazz and the funk and all the music, you know, from they heyday. So we got a good blend, man, you know, in Lamar Park, bro. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, super dope, bro. And another group, man, that I remember from Cali, man, the Far Side, those dudes were super dope too, man.
Like, oh, yeah.
I feel like they, like, even Slim Kid Trey, I feel like he was really ahead of his time in a lot of ways, because he was another one that was doing singing and harmonies and you know, definitely. Just outside the box, you know?
Definitely. That, man, Fat Lip, that's the homie, man. You know, Sport yeah. is super, super cool with Slim Kid Trey too, man. But we are like Politic through Delicious Vinyl, because that's like, you know, one of our little home bases out here, man. Like, that's fam. But yeah, bro, that's, you know, you gotta give props to Far Side, man, because they definitely like was ahead of their time, man. And just having that whole era right there, Souls of Mischief and stuff like that, man. And just like having that whole West Coast kind of, you know, underground vibes, like, just in our atmosphere, man, was like really nice, bro. But it's like, sometimes LA, you know, used to kind of get a knock of being like, you know, only having one lane. But I'm like, man, if you set feet on the pavement out here, you will really understand like how diverse it really is. And it's just like, you know, Kendrick is kind of like a byproduct of both worlds to me. And that is kind of like the second coming when we had our like post the game resurgence out here on the West. I feel like that Kendrick was one of those dudes that carried the torch, man. And it's like the Good Kid, Mad City, bro. It's like, we got everything. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, because Kendrick used to come to Lamar, you know what I'm saying? He used to be over there like messing around with Pac Div and Thurs and, you know, like Dom, all the artists that's like over from our side. And I feel like, you know, he kind of soaked a lot of that up too, man. Like, not to say nobody put Kendrick on. Kendrick is Kendrick. But I feel like he, on his journey, he got a lot of that gumbo that I'm speaking of, you know, by coming over to our side of town, man, to the West Side, you know, because that's what we was on, bro. But it's like, it's beautiful. LA is just such a beautiful place for artists, man. Like, especially our homegrown community of local, you know, LA artists, bro, is like, you know, to me, it's like the best in the world. And of course, I'm biased. But then you have like a Terrace Martin, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is crazy on the production. And like him and his, you know, he was so influenced by the jazz stuff that was going on out here, you know. And it's just like, just to see all of these different pockets of music now kind of able to like live in one space, you know, at the top, man, is crazy, bro. So, you know, I'm so thankful and blessed, man, to be from the city and, you know, just to have all this in me, man.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. It's a blessing, man, to have that level of exposure to the culture, man. So, you know, I got basically just two more questions left for you, man. So, you know, the next thing I wanted to ask you, because like I told you before, a mantra of mine is persistence wears down resistance, just overcoming obstacles. what for the people out there listening, man, like, what is a mantra for Slim Jeff?
Man, damn, I got so many.
You can make it a compilation, man.
Yeah, and it's like, it's crazy, y'all. I don't want to blank right now, man. But yeah, bro, I I'm definitely big on consistency, man. You know, consistency is key. I think that is very important, man. You know, Jam Sport J is really the mantra king, bro. Like, all attraction, no chasing. It's like one of our group mantras, you know, that Jam Sport J coined, that we all kind of abide by, man. It's just kind of like, you know, doing you, man, and like, you know, not chasing empty things. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, just keeping authentic to yourself and pursuing what you're doing with purpose. You know what I mean? Not for clout, not for, you know, numbers, you know, not for attention, but just like pursuing it with soul and passion, man. So, you know, all attraction, no chasing is something that we say on a regular, like Sport, you know, even started a little company out of it, man. But that's definitely one. You know, consistency, like I said, like that's another one. You know, and just like, you know, staying solid, man, 10 toes down, bro. Like we that's the part of the gang culture that I grew up around that I really respect and appreciate, man, is that like, you gotta stay solid, bro. Like you gotta stay like, you know, down with the turf. Know where you come from. You know what I'm saying? Like don't switch up in the weird ways and stuff like that. It's not saying don't elevate or don't hold yourself back, but it's just like knowing who you are, knowing where you come from, you know what I'm saying? And being good to your brother, man, you know what I'm saying? Looking out for your brother, you know, like, you know, supporting your brother, like staying solid, 10 toes down with your homies, man, having their back. Like, you know, any artist that I manage, bro, I always like to think of it as a lifetime situation. I don't like to think of it as like a, you know, a come up or a, you know, this and that, like quick fly by night type thing. It's like, nah, man, this is family, bro. You know, that's why I named my company Palm Village Worldwide, because, you know, it's the village. You know, Lamar Park, where I'm from, they call that the village. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, palm trees cover all in LA. I don't care if you live in a poor neighborhood, rich neighborhood, or in between. We all trying to make it happen, like, you know, under these, like, these big tall palm trees, that's a symbol of, you know, LA, that's overlooking us all, man. So it's everybody's trying to make their dreams come true, you know, under the palm trees, like on the soil out here on the west, man, in LA. And it's just like, stay 10 toes down, man. Stay strong, stay solid. You know, it's a lot of G shit that goes on in terms of just like a lot of unspoken things, you know, like you really gotta, like, you gotta watch your mouth out here, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'll be trying to explain that to people coming from out of town. Like, people are so principled that it's life or death with them. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I get that from growing up around Crips. You know what I'm saying? Just growing up in the neighborhood and just understanding, like, you know, how committed, like, people are to their principles and ideas of loyalty and honor, you know, and respect and trust and all that type of stuff, man. So, you know, that's what it is, bro. You know, those are a few, man. But when I get on the phone with my artists, bro, I'm always lecturing somebody or giving advice or, you know, working out the next play or this and that, man. So a lot of things come to me through stream of consciousness, man. But yeah, those are a few that I kind of live by.
That's super dope, man. That's super dope, man. Well, you know, I definitely respect it, man. You know, one thing I want to ask you, brother, last is the last question. What's next, man, for the Palm Village, man? What's next for Slim Jeff? What's next for my brother Jam Sport J, man? You know, I celebrate y'all all the time, man. I'm happy for the success. So what can we expect on the horizon, man?
Oh, man, you know, Sport is cooking up right now, man. Ever since the Nas thing happened, the phone been going crazy. So, you know, it's a lot of things I can't, like, necessarily mention. But, you know, it's, you know, keep your eye out. He got some big shit coming. And, you know, for Palm Village, man, you know, I'm really just trying to keep fostering this community of artists, you know, that I've been building. You know, I like to work with like multidisciplinary artists, man, artists that do different things, photography, rapping, you know what I'm saying, painters. I kind of, you know, want to build this into a global thing, man. So, you know, my whole thing is like at the bare minimum, bro, it's like, if I ain't never did nothing for you, at least I want to be able to, you know, guide people across the world and kind of get these experiences like overseas and in different places. You know, I've been working with all my other artists, Thurs, who is kind of like one of the mayors of LA. You know, he's like, you know, highly influential in the city, man, highly respected. You know, he has a platform called Party in My Living Room where a lot of artists come through to perform. And then he's just kind of like, you know, same work ethic as Jansport. He's a beast, man, with his, you know, prolific nature of putting out so much music and content. So I've been working with him. You know, I got my ace, 80 Beats. That's my producer. Me and him, we've been working on, you know, music, man. I've been finding my passion for music again, and I've been working on a lot of music. So it's like, I personally, you know, I got some joints coming. I got an album that I finished, my quarantine album that I made last year. You know, it's on the relationship vibe of just kind of things I was going through, man. But I'm just such a raw artist myself, man. It's like, it's hard for me to make it unless I'm living it and going through it, man. So, you know, sometimes, you know, when I'm going through things, that's when my pen gets the most active. So I was able to crank out an album that one of our mutual homies, SK, actually mastered for me, man. I met him in Spain, you know. Well, actually, I met him in LA, but we all went to Spain together to work on the album. And then I got, you know, this kid, Knowledge, man, that's super, super talented out of Detroit. He's like gifted, man, with the message, bro. His message is real, and I'm trying to help him build right now. You know, I got my shooter, my photographer, you know, creative director Andrew Quesada that I work with, and yeah, man, we just been building, bro. We just been building and working, and you know, I'm looking forward to traveling and things opening back up, and you know, looking forward to releasing some music of my own, and you know, just kind of keep winning, man, and keep working and you know, keeping our, you know, head down and, you know, just keep putting out dope content, man. I just, you know, I'm one person and it's kind of like I'll be running this whole thing myself, you know? So it's like, you know, trying to just keep the ship moving, man. So it's just kind of, it's almost second nature to me at this point, man. But I just want to build my company out, man, really, you know, like looking for, you know, more special artists, you know what I mean? And I feel like can be here for the long haul. And, you know, just keep grinding, bro. Keep grinding, keep toasting champagne, keep celebrating, keep winning, man, you know?
That's it, man. Well, you know, like I said, man, you know, just super congrats, brother, on everything, you know, all the accomplishments. I know there's more to come, man. We're going to keep building offline as well. So, you know, just much love as always, man. And once again, this is Kyle Hunter with my brother Slim Jeff. This was the Diagnosis Success Podcast. Thank y'all for listening. As always, much success.
My theme song, I'm just to kill any jeans on. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing. I giving up, that's how I give it up. Pushing, I giving up, that's how I give it up.